Warning. Society has deemed a number of conversation topics as rude to discuss in polite company. Luckily, those rules don't apply here. Welcome to Impolite Company. Of Impolite Company, Chris Sear.
So when I was a kid, one of my earliest experiences watching a horror movie was The Omen. It was just the original one, not the remake, because I'm old. And the remake was only, anyway, 6 years ago. It would be weird. 7 years ago? 10 years? It's been a minute, but it hasn't been long enough for me to, be... Like, that to be a childhood formative experience and for me to be on the radio, I don't think. I think there would have been more time. Anyway, when I was a kid, the original, 1970-something version of The Omen, I was maybe 6 or 7, maybe 8 or 9, somewhere in that range. And I had a grandmother who was, a little churchy grandmother. She would do all the things churchy grandmothers do. She would take you to services on Sunday mornings. Twice, to the adult services, so you would have to sit there quietly while everybody around you stood speaking in tongues and holding serpents and scorpions and stuff like that. And while they were all doing that, you would stand there and be like, oh, I don't know what's going on. And someone would tap you on the shoulder, go, hey, kid, you don't want to go to hell and burn in the fires of damnation, do you? And you'd be like, well, that doesn't sound good. So you would go up, when the minister says, come up, man, give your life to Jesus. And you'd be like, all right, man, I'm just a kid. I hate fire. I just want to play football and maybe see some G.I. Joes or something. And they'd be like, they're probably G.I. Joes in heaven. And I'm like, man, I hope so. I hope they got the bridge layer. My parents can't afford the bridge layer. I want the bridge layer was cool. It was a toy, and it was like a Bradley or something like that, and it was like an armored plated vehicle, and it drove around, and it had a bridge on top of it. So if your toy ever came to a really small ravine that it had to cross, it would lay the bridge over the ravine, drive across it, then it would pick the bridge back up and drive off. It was really cool, only in the G.I. Joe universe, right? It might exist in the real world, but in the G.I. Joe universe, it was a cool toy, and I was like, man, if they got that in heaven, I definitely want to go. So you would do that multiple times a month. You would just go up and be like, all right, let's still make sure this took. So that was kind of what my grandma did for us. And my earliest memories of church were things like that, making sure I don't go to hell. And then enter this movie about this little boy, just this cute little kid. So I identified with him, of course. If it's a movie about a cute little boy just being there looking with his little dimples and little moppy haircut, I'm going to identify with that kid because that was me, man. I was a cute kid who got away with a lot of things just because when you smile, you got holes in your cheeks. And I guess that trips some weird protection trigger in adults where when we see that, we're like, oh, what a cute kid. So I'm watching The Omen. I'm like, oh, this kid looks cool. I mean, I'd probably hang with him. And he's got rich parents, so he's probably got the good toys. He's probably got a bridge lair. And I'm watching, and it turns out the kid is the son of the devil. He's like the Antichrist. And I'm like, oh, well, I mean, the Antichrist doesn't look like that bad of a gig. You're like, dogs like you? Old ladies hang themselves for you? That's a fan base, man. I got fans. I got people who come out just to see me at shows. I've got people who follow me on social media because they saw me at a show or at an event. None of them hang themselves for me. I mean, don't do that. I don't want you to hang yourself for me. That's how you lose fans, right? A hero dies a coward's death, but a fan hangs themselves once. Isn't that the Chinese phrase? Probably not. Japanese, yeah, it's a samurai thing. Hey, that's not the phrase anyway, so it doesn't matter. Don't write me hate mail about getting that wrong. But the point is, this kid's fan base is like, did it for you, Damien. Boom, click, gone. I was like, all right, man. You got some pull, kid. You got the juice. And I'm watching that, and then it turns out, not only he's not just good with dogs and old ladies, he's also kind of evil. And I watched that movie, and by the end of it, man, I am convinced I'm the Antichrist. Like, I watched that movie at, like, somewhere between the age of 6 and 9 on a small black and white television on the second floor of this big house where my whole family lives. When I say my whole family, I don't mean, like, my parents and my brothers. I mean, like, my grandmother, my parents, my brothers, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. There are, like, 13 or 14 of us living in this house in South St. Louis. And I watched this movie on a small black and white television with a coat hanger antenna because there was no cable in the house. And like, I remember my dad being like, this is a good movie. Yeah. And I didn't want to disagree. But by the end of the movie, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what if I'm the Antichrist? Like, I'm looking in the mirror to see if there's like a 666 tattoo on my forehead somewhere or in underneath my hair. And I'm like trying to talk to the dog to see if he understands me. And it freaks me out. It freaks me out because by now I'd been to church enough to know that if I'm the Antichrist, I don't get to go to a place where all the good G.I. Joes are. And all I know about the afterlife is I don't like fire and I like toys and I don't want to be in the wrong place. So I go to my grandma's bedroom and I knock on the door and I go in. I'm like, Grandma, I just watched a movie and I'm afraid I might be the Antichrist. And I don't know, like, some of you got kids. I don't know what your plan would be if your kid came into your bedroom at night and said, yo, Mom, Dad, probably the son of Satan. Like, you might dissuade that kid from that notion. You might be like, look, man, first of all, it's highly doubtful there is a Satan. And if he did, he knows how birth control works. So you're probably not the devil's kid. Like, maybe you dissuade him that way. Or maybe you say, no, honey, like the Antichrist is it's a metaphor for just evil in the world and a spirit of evil in the end times and like some goofy people on LSD thought it was a thing long time ago. Maybe you do that, like explain to your kid like the effects of hallucinogenic drugs and the birth of religions across the world. I don't know. Like your method is you. Maybe you just say, probably not. I just leave it at that. My grandma was like, well, I mean, there is one way to be sure. And we sat down and prayed, and it was like, Father God, please don't let this kid be the Antichrist. And I was like, that's an interesting tactic now as an adult, I realize. Because at that time, like, I knew, like, my stepdad was raising me, and I didn't know he was my stepdad. I just knew he was my dad. So at that time, my grandma knew I had a biological father. So when you think about the fact that that I had a secret dad I didn't know about, and she thought I might be the Antichrist. I was like, oh, man, when I found out I had a different dad, I was like, oh, wow, maybe he is the devil. Probably not too far off. I don't know. I just thought that was a weird tactic, man. And it actually dissuaded me from thinking every time I see that movie. There's no like, huge conclusion to that story that's got, like, a big lesson learned at the end. I mean, I ended up not being the Antichrist, probably. Like, I'm pretty sure. I read a lot of websites that said that was Obama anyway. Like, he was charismatic, scared all the Christians, I guess. I don't know. But that was my earliest, like, horror movie experience, was just growing up, constantly looking in the mirror, waiting for that 666 to come in underneath my temple there, like, underneath my hair. When really all that's there is my Illuminati tattoo. Which, that's where you get it. You shave a sideburn down enough, you get the little triangle with the little pyramid with the eye in it, and then you let the hair grow over it so no one can see it. But then when you have to present yourself to a different lodge in another city, and you, like, walk up to the door and you knock into it, and they go, what's up? And you go, ad magnificum illuminatus rex. And then you show them your little tattoo, and you give them a little secret handshake. The Illuminati handshake is easy. Just shake a person's hand. Extend the two fingers in to touch the pulse of their wrist and press on the inside of their thumb and index finger with your thumb. And then, wow, there you go. You now join the Illuminati. You and Drake, you're all part of the same team. Simple Light Company, this is Chris Sear. I'm sitting here. Peyton's working the board. I am not dead. I am not dead. If you listened yesterday, we started season two of Impolite Company, for numbering purposes of the episodes. It's just easier, man. Those were getting unwieldy. Back on episode one, I decided I'm going to write out or type out each episode number in long form and not use numbers in this, you know, like Arabic numbers, just words. And I got up to like 100 and episode 130. And I'm like, man, these are a lot of letters. Shouldn't have done that. And then I was looking at it. And like normally, I guess you'd wait a year before you start a new season. Like, I don't want to wait till February to redo this numbering scheme. And I like October. October's a good month. For one, October's when all the new shows start anyway. Like in the next 2 weeks, we get a new season of Flash, a new season of Arrow, I think a new season of Legends of Tomorrow. I mean, all the superhero stuff I watch starts, right? Walking Dead, which I should have stopped watching years ago, but now I finally get to see Rick die, thankfully. Tired of that guy. Man, you talk about a sanctimonious person that deserved to be shot in season one. It's Rick Grimes. Never done a good thing on that show. Showed up like Shane and Lori are living happily together, like in this new world. Shane's doing his best to be a good stepdad to this little brat who keeps whining about his dad anyway. It's like, your dad didn't save you from the zombies, kid. I did. And what happens? Rick shows up and just ruins it all. Everywhere he goes, the zombies follow. I don't know why nobody's figured that out. You know who doesn't have zombies? Anyone? Not with Rick. Anyway, that show starts back up. So I was like, all right, well, that's a good time to start a new season. So we'll do it. So welcome to season two of Impolite Company, episode two. So now if you're listening to this as a recording, you're like, wait a minute, season two has been going on for a long time. Now you know when this happened. If you listened yesterday, you heard Sam Lyons with The Lion's Den. That's going to happen every Monday. Get used to Sam. He took a minute to introduce himself. If you haven't listened to it yet, go to impolitecompany.com. Download the episode. Get to know Sam Lyons. He's a good young man. He went to school. He went to college. He learned things. I learned he could have been an FBI profiler, which scared me. Just letting you know, as a high-functioning sociopath, I prefer not to have FBI profilers near me. Start blaming me for every murder that's happened anywhere. It's not cool. Like, you learned some things about Sam, though. That was episode one. Today, I'm here. Episode two. Tomorrow, I'll be here again. Episode three. Thursday, we got a friend of mine, Susan Bennett, who's my personal photographer. Like, not personal in the sense that she follows me around, but, like, the only photographer that I let take pictures of me. She's good at her job. She's going to come in. We're going to talk about pictures and stuff because I'm getting new headshots taken, and I hate having my picture taken. I don't know if you noticed. I mean, I'm an attractive dude. I look good. You want to bang me, that's for sure. But, like, I don't like pictures of myself. It's hard. It's like you got to look and you got to see how old you're getting. Look at all the gray in your beard. You're like, oh, man, I should start getting that Just for Men comb, that little tiny comb that you rake through your beard to color it off. And I don't, because whatever, I'm getting old. I should just accept it, man. But anyway, like, she takes good pictures, and she knows it's about the angles. And we're going to talk about selfies and stuff. We're going to talk about why, when you're on Tinder or Bumble or Bagel Meat Coffee or Vagina Meat Penis, whatever. Can you say penis on the radio? I think you can. It's a clinical term. But whatever dating site you're on and you're taking selfies to throw up on those sites, why at different angles you look completely different and not like yourself. Talk about things like forced perspective and the lies that are photographs. So it'll be fun. Yeah, I know. It's photography on the radio. It's a visual medium being discussed in an audio medium, man. It's the year 2018. Don't be so parochial in what you expect from your audio entertainment. Just tune in. It'd be good. Tomorrow, I don't know. It might just be me talking about this. It's October, man. We're going to talk a lot about horror movies this month. Get used to it. Like, we talked about The Omen today because really that shaped a huge part of my childhood. Even after my grandma told me that, like after we prayed about it and she was like, no, man, Jesus told me you are not the Antichrist. I wasn't too sure. Like, what if the Antichrist was just really good at hiding from Jesus, man? Like, I've seen movies about the Antichrist. I hadn't seen any movies about Jesus except for, like, the one that played on, like, NBC every Easter. And that was boring, so I usually fell asleep during it. If the movie King of Kings had a scene where someone was walking by a church, lightning struck, and a iron rod flew out of the fence into their chest, I would totally have paid more attention. If the movie King of Kings had had a scene at the end, oh, I'm going to spoil the end of The Omen for you. It's like 30 years old, 40 years old. Go watch it. Anyway, had a scene at the end where a grieving father is holding a blessed dagger above the chest of his evil, devil-infested son, about to plunge it into his chest, and the cops kick in the door just in time to shoot him and save the devil from being cast out of this world. I would have watched it, man. Somebody needs to rewrite that Bible. If you listen to this station exactly 12 hours after I go off the air, if it's a different station, by the way, they will have a different take on The Omen than I have. I turned on my radio yesterday after I left my day gig, and I was listening to it. I was like, oh, man, yeah, this is like the exact opposite of me. So apologies. It is 9:20 a.m. WGNU. We have sponsors. The Crow's Nest in downtown Maplewood, 7336 Manchester. Stop by today. Eat yourself some food. I don't care what you order. You need food. Like, you're on a diet, that's fine. If you eat less than like 1,500 calories a day, your body starts consuming itself. You know what's probably just about 1,500 calories? Some waffle fries, a burger with some blue cheese, a knife in the top so you can cut the burger and slowly chew it at your pleasure, and get like a bowl of chili next to it. Top that off with a good beer. Maybe, I don't know, whatever they got there, man. They got some good stuff. I usually get a nice brown ale, put a Jameson next to it. I haven't in like a month had any of that stuff, but I remember what it tastes like. Stop by the Crow's Nest. Tell them we sent you. Tell them you listen to Impolite Company. They will not give you a discount on anything. They will be like, oh, does Chris still talk about us on the radio? We asked him to stop that. And you can be like, nah, it was good. It made me come here. And I'm like, yeah. I'll know. I know everything when somebody says my name. I'm a bit like God in that way. Whenever two or more of you say my name, I hear it. Especially if you say it to the rhythm of the night, I guess. Taco Circus at Schiller and Morgan Ford. Don't go there today. They're closed on Tuesdays, but get in line for tomorrow. It's a taco. It's a circus. It's Taco Circus on Schiller and Morgan Ford, just south of Bevo Mill in the Bevo neighborhood. Go to the windmill. Drive your lance into it. Leave it with all the other lances, and you and Sancho Panza wander down to Taco Circus. Tell Christian and the gang, I'm here for tacos. And they'll be like, yeah, man, that's what we sell. We kind of figured. And if you're looking for a drink tonight, Fortune Teller Bar in the Cherokee Business District. Stop in, get a craft cocktail made with house-made bitters. Hang out. If you're a dude or a chick, or like present yourself as either one of those, and you like hanging out and looking at other people of the same sex or opposite sex, whatever you're attracted to, or maybe you're asexual and you don't care about any of that, maybe you're both sexes and you like all of it. Who cares, man? There are going to be young people around you to hang out with and talk, and then you could talk about like books and movies and films and society and politics. And you could turn on your Tinder and see who within like a 50-foot radius of you is looking to hook up. You can hook up somewhere, then you can come back, get another drink. That's probably not part of their official like advertisement, but we know what we're doing in bars, right? Like, you're out there drinking, you're a young, single, hip person. You like grinding your parts against other people's parts. That's what you're made for. That's a biological imperative. All you did was cut off the baby part of that, so why not literally? Well, maybe literally, I don't know, support Planned Parenthood. But, like, whatever you do, man, you're down there. Just hang out, get a drink, hook up, go do things. Like, I don't know, be young. Be young. You're only young twice. Like, once when you're really young, and then once when you're old and you're, like, scared of your own mortality, so you pretend you're, like, 20 years younger than you are. Fortune Teller Bar, it's a good place to evade your own mortality. Every Wednesday through Sunday, the kitchen's open. Get yourself a gourmet sausage from The Cut. Hang out there. Tell them we sent you. Tell them, I heard this is the hookup place. And they'll be like, I don't know, man. It's Cherokee. Do what you want. Oh, man. It's going to be fun. It's been a minute. Like, that's so with Yale on Fridays doing the wind down and Sam doing the Lion's Den every Monday. Like, I'm only in here Tuesday through Thursday, so there's that four-day gap where, like, the world changes. The world changes. Like, since the last time I came in, Brett Kavanaugh had his hearings. Those were depressing. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I needed 6 hours of a man-child crying and then screaming at senators of the United States of America. Lindsey Graham made a complete ass of himself. I mean, or he made a hero of himself, depending on who you ask. It's weird to me that there's like a whole swath of society that views Lindsey Graham as some kind of hero for standing up and reading like an impassioned speech from The Crucible, where all he did was change every part about evolution into supporting a rapist. I mean, that's weird to me. Arthur Miller couldn't have wrote that, but it was more like John Grisham trying to, it's more like Dan Brown writing a John Grisham novel about an Arthur Miller play is listening to Lindsey Graham. Can somebody please tell Lindsey Graham to sit down and shut up? We don't need that. It's not church, Lindsey. It's not, man. And I will tell Elena hello if I ever meet her. I like her. She's a good woman. She's a good justice. That happened. Then we dealt with like everything from that happening. What else happened over the weekend? Movies came out. I didn't see any movies. I worked at the Funny Bone all weekend with Tim Gaither. That was fun. He's a funny guy. Lots of crowds came out. Friday night, another radio show that's a nationally syndicated like country radio show. The two DJs stopped in, so there were like 400 people in the club, and they were all there. And I was like, I don't know too much about country music crowds. Will they appreciate my Grand Theft Auto joke where I talked about shooting video game police officers every time you get pulled over in real life as like stress relief? They might not like that. Country music fans know what MDMA is. If you didn't know, yes, everyone who listens to Big and Rich still knows what MDMA is. So there's hope. We're all taking the same party drugs on our bus to hell. It was fun. It was a good weekend. Saturday, Oktoberfest. Did you go to an Oktoberfest near you? There are Oktoberfests everywhere. It wasn't even October, and it was Oktoberfest all over the place. People drinking beer left and right. I emceed a six-hour beer tasting. Not drinking any beer the whole time. It was depressing, man. It was depressing. Like, if you're considering not drinking, like, giving it up, don't. Like, I don't care how bad your life is. Like, maybe you woke up in a gutter last night next to, like, someone you only met once and you can't even remember that time. And you're like, oh, I should stop. Don't, man. Like, nothing else is as much fun. Like, soon you'll just be standing on a lawn, sober, wide awake to the world, watching other people have fun while you play 90s hip-hop. And, like, can remember when each song came out, and then you do the math on when that song came out to the year you're in, and that's, like, wow. And then you see, like, people dancing. You're like, that person wasn't born when this song came out. That person wasn't born when this song came out. That person should not be trying to hook up with that person because he was 20 when this song came out, and she was negative 10. It's like, look, man, you start quantifying people's life. You're like a Fitbit for hookups. It's weird. I guess if your life's crap, stop drinking. I don't know, man. Don't listen to me for moral advice. Or do. I mean, you'd have a fun life. It'd just be a lot shorter. But it's about quality, not quantity, right? The text machine's down. That's why I haven't given out the number or said good morning yet, Yale. I know you're out there. If you want to text, you can text me on my personal phone, 314-629-4102. I don't know. Send me a picture of your breakfast. That's fine. As long as your breakfast isn't like a person. I don't want to see cannibalism this early in the morning. I own the Faces of Death like line of movies. I could watch cannibalism whenever I want. I don't need to watch it first thing in the morning. I already watched the news. Basically the same thing. It's the bottom of the hour. Peyton running the boards, Impolite Company. We are going to take a quick pause for the cause, a break for the make. Come back. Kick this week off a little bit more. I'm Chris Sear. Yep. Yep. As I said, I emceed that Oktoberfest thing on Saturday for my friends at All Grains Underground. It's a local brewing company that makes good beer. Over Memorial Day, I emceed another event for them and tried all of their beers a million different times. And they do. It's like, I don't know, it's better than some of the stuff you buy in stores. It's a lot better than a lot of stuff people call a microbrew these days. And they throw a good event. They have a good party. It was fun. I was playing music, man. There's a part of every one of those where you like start playing the stuff for the older people. And it's like, man, we really like Lil Wayne a lot too, but maybe we could hear some Allman Brothers. And so you just start shifting. You're like, yeah, man, the sun's going down. We'll play some of that stuff with guitar solo so you could like sit there and play some air guitar in your chair. Because I know that's what you want. You want to sit there with your lady next to you, and while she's like sitting there like gently stroking your back with her fingernails, comforting you because she knows that you're afraid of dying. And you want to play that air guitar solo on Not My Cross to Bear. And you just want to get into that. You want her to know that if you had a real guitar and an ounce of talent, you could use all these facial expressions you're making for that air guitar solo. You could put those to a good use. That you'd be a good guitarist is what you're telling her. You could have been Dwayne Allman. Or, you know, you could have been someone else in the band. You could have been Dickie Betts if you want to. I guess he's still alive, I think. No, he's alive. Ah, who cares? It doesn't matter. You're not him anyway. You want to be. But you're just letting her know. You're letting your lady know, man. Hey, you married someone who, if things had gone differently, would have been a great lead guitar, like a blues man. Like, I know I'm an old white dude from Ladue, but I would have been a good blues man because I know about hardship. I survived Bernie Madoff. Some people survived years of systemic oppression and the possibility of being murdered by law enforcement or having your wife's lover shoot you in the middle of the night. Real hardship, but you survived having your pension raided by people running pyramid schemes and scams with derivatives that didn't actually exist and creating falsified documents about retirement accounts that really were nothing more than a paper stock market game that someone was playing on a little computer simulation that you were a part of. It's the same thing. So, of course, you know about the blues. Like, you drove here to this party in a 2013 Lexus, not a 2019 Lexus, like the guy across the table from you. So when it comes to the blues, you got it down, man. Or maybe you're a real biker. Maybe you know. So you drove up on your BMW motorcycle with the kind with the big speakers so people two cars over can hear you on the highway. Maybe that's what you did. Anyway, yeah, we get it. You could have been an Allman Brother. If your mom was an Allman Mother. I always wanted to start a band called the Almond Brothers, and it's like you do nothing but do blues songs about almond joys and Mountain Dew's hat, Mounds bars, and Mountain Dew. Why the hell not? Let's have more blues songs about Mountain Dew. We got blues songs about whiskey. We got blues songs about cocaine. Why can't we have blues songs about Mountain Dew, which is pretty much the nexus of the two? Anyway, I'm playing my old white guy. I make fun, but I listen to the music, right? If you've ever listened to the end of the show, you know we go out to Stevie Ray Vaughan. Clearly. And I sit here and rock out to it. I'm not sitting here. It's not like Peyton plays Lil Wing and I'm stop playing that. No, I sit here and I rock out to it. I'm like, yeah, man, it's a good song. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to mock it. There's no more annoying person than the guy who walks up to the DJ begging them to play some Stevie Ray Vaughan. It's like, man, I am right in the middle of a mashup of Public Enemy and Slayer. Yeah, I could totally. It does, anyway, so I'm in the middle of that blues riff, and I get to the point where I play Stevie Ray Vaughan's Lil Wing, and I take a little poll of the audience. I'm like, who likes the Jimi Hendrix version better? By the way, that was Mott the Hoople we came back from the break on. Peyton, let me know. But I would get to the point, and I asked the audience, what's better, the Jimi Hendrix version of Lil Wing or the Stevie Ray Vaughan version of Lil Wing? And like half the audience votes for the Jimi Hendrix version, which makes me realize they don't know the song that well. Because the Jimi Hendrix version is by far the inferior version of the song. I complain about this all the time. There's a xylophone on that track. Don't put a xylophone on my blues track. Don't put a wind chime. Don't put a Tibetan prayer bowl. None of that stuff. Guitar, old dude. That's all you need. Boom. Combine the two. Guitar, old lady. Boom. You're done. You got Bonnie Raitt in there too now. Guitar, young dude who thinks he's an old dude. Boom. There you go. You got, I don't know, who does that anymore? Johnny Lang's old now. Like when I was a kid, it was John. Anyway, the point is, you don't need wind chimes and prayer bowls. So I liked, they were all good people. It was a good party. I'm teasing a little, but they got that one wrong. They got that one wrong. If you're listening and you were at that party, hi, welcome. How are you? Did you have a good time? I wasn't making fun of you. I was making fun of the person next to you, clearly. Like you remember. You remember that person. Yeah, we both do. Let's have a moment right now where we remember that person together. There you go. Now we're both laughing about the same thing. If you weren't at that party, you know that person anyway. We all do. We all do. The sandals, the black socks. Oh. Here's the thing. If you got gnarly toes, don't wear sandals. Like, I get having gnarly toes, man. I don't get pedicures a lot. I don't have time for that. I don't have time. I'm too busy, like, living life to worry about somebody going down and scraping my toes off for me. That's fine. But I don't wear sandals. You're going to have to buck up. If you're going to wear sandals, you have to not care about the condition of your feet, or they have to be pretty, one of the two. But you can't wear socks. That's not an option. There's not a third option where I'll wear sandals, but I'm going to wear, like, tube socks with them. You're not a 90-year-old golfer. Don't do it. Leave the socks at home. I'm wearing socks today, but I'm wearing tennis shoes. That's appropriate. I don't know, man. I'm cranky about socks and sandals. All the stuff going on in the world, and that's what I focused on. Like the Fed's raising interest rate, which good, we need to, man. You need interest rates. Otherwise, why are you going to save money, right? But anyway, the interest rates are rising, and I'm worried about socks and sandals. We're getting ready to have a judge for life, a Supreme Court justice for life, a guy who's like, oh, man, if a frozen turkey had a bad attitude, that would be Brett Kavanaugh. That's what we're getting on the Supreme Court for life, man. That guy can eat a bag of them, right? Like, I think we can all agree on that. Like, no matter what your I know I am a bomb-throwing liberal at some times. And people are like, man, I'm glad Chris doesn't have Molotov cocktails. Me too. I'm too lazy to just take, like, 16 ounces of gasoline, pour it into a 24-ounce bottle, tear up a bed sheet, shove it in there, light on fire, and throw it at institutions of power. I'm too lazy to do that. So it is a good thing. But that doesn't mean I can't yell and scream about it like the rest of them. That's what I do, man. It's how I cope. Don't take away my coping mechanisms. I don't knock the chocolate bar out of your hand. Live a quantifiable life. Live a quantifiable life. That's a bad thing about Oktoberfest parties. It's October. There's going to be like three more of them. Halloween's around the corner. So you got Halloween parties and Thanksgiving. Do you do Thanksgiving parties? No, but if you work a day job, every office in America becomes this toxic wasteland of cupcakes and weird desserts made in kitty litter containers. Have you seen that? Like, what the hell, white trash? What are you doing? You're my people, so I feel like I can call you out on this. Like, I grew up with weird things to eat. Like, I grew up in the land of Mustacholi and calling it Muscacholi, right? Like, I grew up in your world. And even we had more common sense than this. Okay, here's the dessert you bring to the office that is just the most disgusting idea. It's a cat litter box. It's a cat litter box filled with, like, granola. And then in that, you mix in like Tootsie Rolls, but that are half melted, so they roll in the granola. So basically what you got is like a chocolate granola bar, but it looks like a cat turd. And then you like sprinkle in chocolate chips and like various things to give it all this weird gritty texture. And then people eat that. And you're watching them do that and you're like, oh, this is beyond the pale. A little bit beyond the pale. In every definition of the pale, like whether you're talking about a Scottish province, where when you get beyond the borders, the laws don't apply, or like a metal bucket that you hurl in because you just watched somebody eat what you thought was a cat turd. Don't bring that to the office. Don't bring that. I don't like food that looks like animal feces. Don't do it. You know what? I'm bringing a dessert or a dish tomorrow to the office that's basically a meatloaf that I cook, but I'm going to roll it all in log form and shape it that way. And then I'm going to see if people want that. I don't know. What else do people bring into the office that I can't send? I like the person who, like, on food day just stops by Panera and brings in a dozen bagels. I appreciate that person. Because, you know, like, you might be a good cook, you might be a bad cook, but you don't know how everybody's going to receive the food you make. Maybe you use too much cilantro in your ambrosia salad. I don't know. Do you put cilantro in ambrosia salad? I don't eat ambrosia because it looks gross. It's like creamy and got marshmallows and fruit. It's gross. Don't put marshmallows and fruit together. I don't like gel. Don't make Jello with fruit in it either. Don't put fruit in desserts. Leave your fruit as a fruit, man. Fruit's already sweet. You don't need to sex it up any with Jello. Take Jell-O and sex up your sex with Jell-O. Do that. That's your bed sheets. I don't care. Don't mess up my dessert or my fruit by combining. Anyway, no matter what you're making, it might not be good enough for everybody. But you know what everyone loves? A good fake bagel from Panera. And yeah, they're fake bagels. I'm sorry, Panera. If you can chew a bagel in 3 bites, it's not a real bagel. You should have to... A bite of a bagel... Like, here's why bagels were good for you to begin with. Like, bagels are a lot of calories and carbs and starch and stuff just, like, sitting there, and gluten. Just, like, if you eat a bagel in 5-10 minutes, like, you're not doing yourself any good because you're going to want another one, and then you've doubled up the calories and everything. But a good bagel, every bite takes you about a half hour to chew. Like, you take that bite, and you're like, oh, man, this has a good taste to it, but it's dense. Got to keep chewing. It's like a bread gum. And that's what a bagel should taste like. And a Panera bagel just tastes like bread someone made into a circle. Like they were making donuts but then decided to bake them because grease is bad for you. If you could take the thing you're calling a bagel and fry it up and make a donut, you're not making a bagel. I don't know. You're not using enough light. You're not boiling them for one first. You're not proofing them right. Like the whole process of making bagels, you're screwing it up somewhere. Same thing with a pretzel. Don't just overbake bread to where it's brown and call it a pretzel. There better be some caustic chemicals involved in the preparation of that dough before you bake that. I have strong opinions on baked products from other cultures, whether it be the good people of Israel with their bagels, the good people of Bavaria, is that a country, with their pretzels. I know Bavaria's got to be kind of a country. That's where the Illuminati comes from. They are the illuminated seers of Bavaria. Before Kanye ever joined the Illuminati chapter here in the United States in New York City, along with Eugene Wilder, Gene, whatever. I lost track of the joke I was going to make. It's fine. It's early. Before the Illuminati ever formed here, though, they were in Bavaria eating pretzels and drinking beer. That's how you know they should run the world. We're not doing a good enough job of it on our own. But anyway, the guy that brings in the Panera bagels, like, they're not real bagels. They're fake bagels, but everybody likes them. So, yeah, do it, man. When you bring in those bagels, though, don't stop getting the cinnamon crumble ones. It's not that they're not good. They're just messy, and the cinnamon parts get on all the other bagels. No one likes that. Like, if I go and I reach in and I grab an Asiago bagel, and it's got cinnamon and sugar on it too, that's a little gross. That's a little too much. What if I'm hungover? What if those two flavors? Oh, or worse, an onion bagel. First of all, you heathen. we're working together in a confined environment. We're sitting in cubicles with each other. We're in conference rooms with each other. We're inhaling each other's air so much, you should just French kiss everyone you work with in an office anyway. Like, you have so much of the other particles of your coworkers that you would basically be better off just walking in the door and shoving your tongue down each person's mouth in procession until you get to your cubicle, because it's the same amount of germs that you're going to get anyway just from inhaling their presence. Why? Why in the name of all of the gods, the new gods, the old gods, the gods of the first men, why would you bring in onion bagels to that environment? What is your problem? What kind of weird, sick fetish do you have where you just want to smell reconstituted onions on everybody's breath for the next 4 hours? Why'd you do? Anyway, it's worse, though, if the person is eating an onion bagel, because they're the type of person that eats the onion bagel, of course. But what if they get that onion bagel and it's got cinnamon and sugar on it? Now you've taken the kind of person who eats an onion bagel to begin with, and you've given them one with cinnamon and sugar, and they're going to hurl. And you know what that's going to be? They eat onion bagels. What else do you think they eat? Do you want to see any of that on the carpet and work for the next 3 days because housekeeping takes forever? It's just going to sit there in the sawdust. Is it too early to talk about that? Maybe. It's not early when I listen to this. It's just good advice. I mean, it's getting to be the end of the hour. I might as well leave you with something you can use in your work day. Here we go. I do understand. This is very, very daytime normative of a statement. So if you're getting off work and you're going to bed, don't worry. You don't have to take bagels anywhere. Tonight when you go to work, take a pizza. Don't put pineapple on it. That's the only advice I have for you. Pineapple, if you might like it, not everybody else does. So if you wake up at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon to get ready for work and you're taking pizza, and don't take in the pineapple pizza. For all you day warriors, you clock watchers, you spreadsheet commandos, if you're taking bagels into work today, here's the perfect collection to take in. You're going to get one dozen bagels. Don't get 13, get 12. I know you're going to be convinced, well, it's a baker's dozen. That's stupid. Just get 12. There's only 6 people on your team. Each person only needs 2. You're going to have 1 left. Odd. That's weird. It's just going to go to waste. Our housekeeping's going to eat it 12 hours later. They won't really appreciate it because it'll be stale. They'll be like, how come they never leave me a fresh one? Get three Asiago bagels. Make sure that you got a sun-dried tomato cream cheese. People will eat those. It'll taste like a little pizza. They'll love you. They'll be like, this is great. Why don't we do this all the time? So you got 3 savory bagels. Get 3 blueberry bagels. Blueberry is a good bagel. It's sweet. It gives you everything the cinnamon crunch bagel gives you as far as you want it to taste like a dessert, but the blueberry is self-contained. The only person that gets blueberries on them is the person eating the blueberry bagel. The blueberry bagel can sit right next to the Asiago bagel, and the two don't contaminate each other. But Chris, we want the blueberry bagel to taste more like a dessert. Fine. Get a cinnamon cream cheese, a hazelnut cream cheese, a honey cream cheese. Oh, man, a good honey cream cheese on a blueberry bagel? What? What? It's like a birthday cake. Good job, fat boy. Eat that. I don't know. Whatever. You're probably watching your calories. I am, man. I'm putting them all in my Weight Watchers app. You can only eat one bagel. But seriously. And then 3 plain bagels. You're like, Chris, no one likes the plain bagel. Everyone likes the plain bagel. You're trying too hard, Pam. Stop doing so much. Bring in a plain bagel. Well, Chris, we want them to have flavor. Fine, pick up a couple extra flavored cream cheeses. Spend a little money on the cream cheese. Stop skimping. Panera sells a ton of them. They're not a sponsor. It's just the only place I know you're stopping off. Maybe you're stopping by Einstein Brothers. That's fine, too. Like, no matter what, you're buying fake bagels. They're fake. Whatever. Go in. Tell them I said that. They don't care. They work there for minimum wage. You think they're going to argue with you about whether their bagels are real? Whatever. Anyway, that's 9. The last 3, this is going to be controversial. It's going to be controversial. However you say that word. Whole wheat bagels. Plain whole wheat bagels. Those are for the people who want the plain bagel but want a little extra fiber, a little extra wheat, a little extra, less bleached flour. It's still bleached, by the way. It's just dyed brown. You're not saving anything. Anyway, though, a good whole wheat bagel. You do that. And again, same thing. What if we want flavor? Flavored cream cheese. Stop skimping on the cream cheese. There. perfect dozen bagels. You take that to work, everyone's going to be happy. Some people got some fancy stuff. Some people got some weird stuff. Everybody's got something. That picky eater of yours is going to sit there eating the plain bagel with nothing on it and going to be like, thanks for thinking of me. And they're not going to walk in tomorrow with a handgun and lay waste to everyone. Most office shootings can be stopped by proper bagel selection. And that's what I'm leaving with for you today. This is Impolite Company. I'm your host, Chris Sear. Follow us on social media, ImpoliteSTL on Twitter, ImpoliteSTL on Facebook, ImpoliteCompany.com, where we have started renumbering the episodes for season two. It's going to be a crazy one. I decided to throw some bombs for the next, not literally, don't arrest me. That's going to be good. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new dawn. You would have thought I put pen to my paper and come up with one. But no matter how hard they try to make me, I refuse to do it, man. I still don't have a catchphrase. Hashtag no gods, no masters. I'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to WGNU St. Louis, operating on 920 AM and K295CQ on 106.9 FM.